Hey, Prime members, did you know that you could be listening to this show ad-free on Amazon Music? With Amazon Music, you get access to the most ad-free top podcasts. Avoid the ads and start listening today.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, May 12th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. On their social media feeds, it might look like millennials and Gen Z workers have found the work-life balance they say they cherish so much. But when it comes time to close up their laptop or log off of email, that balance is often actually out of balance.
They're posting these heavily curated images that show robust personal lives, and then they're going right back to the grind in some cases. So it can appear as though they have tremendous work-life balance, and it's not the reality.
Coming up, we'll talk with WSJ On the Clock columnist Callum Borchers about why so many young workers are struggling to power down. After the break.
At Three Business, we think you should be paying less and getting more. With our Boundless Business offer, the more SIMs you buy, the more you save. Ooh. With up to 20 SIMs for only £10 a month each. That means unlimited calls, texts, and data for the whole team, without any data caps or limits. Yay! That really is more for less. Search Three Business or visit us in store.
Unlimited in the UK. £10 when you buy 10 or more SIMs. 24-month plan. Excludes 20% VAT. Terms apply. See 3.co.uk/terms.
Younger workers say achieving work-life balance is important, yet many feel their job helps define them, and they can't shake the needs of their job outside of work hours. WSJ On the Clock columnist Callum Borchers looked into how millennials and Gen Z workers are dealing with this struggle, and he's here now. So Callum, younger workers, like a lot of age groups in the workplace, have placed extra emphasis on work-life balance in recent years. How are younger workers handling that when they're actually dealing with deadlines and coworkers and bosses making demands?
I'd say they're dealing with it in a very disjointed way, JR. I mean, when Deloitte did its annual survey of these young professionals and asked them, what qualities do you most admire in a peer? Unsurprisingly, somebody who is able to maintain work-life balance or live life on their own terms ranked very highly. That was more impressive to young workers than somebody's salary or their job title or the house or car that they drove. And yet, if you ask those same young professionals, well, what's really important to your own sense of identity? Their job was much more highly rated than things like hobbies or exercise or fashion or listening to music. So there's this disconnect between what we admire in others and what we actually practice for ourselves.
This sounds like a tricky balance. Is this an easier said than done type of scenario?
It is. It's much easier to say that you're going to have work-life balance than to actually do it. The poster person for this, who I spoke with in the course of my reporting, was a woman named Catherine Smith Licari, who literally carries around a card with the words work-life balance in her wallet because she says it's one of her core values. And yet she's working around the clock, she tells me. Now, she's an entrepreneur. She has a consultancy for small businesses, and she feels like she owes it to her clients and to her small team to really be on call at all times. So for her, actually, work-life balance is really more something she tries to protect for her team. She wants to be respectful of their time. But for herself, it's almost non-existent.
And a lot of the conversation about work-life balance, especially among younger workers, is playing out on social media. Hashtag quiet quitting and so on. How is that shaping the way that younger people are approaching this?
Yeah, they're doing it for the gram, so to speak, JR, right? Like they're posting these heavily curated images that show robust personal lives, and then they're going right back to the grind in some cases. So it can appear as though they have tremendous work-life balance, and it's not the reality. I'm thinking of a conversation I had with a young man named Daniel Zotterer, who is the executive director of a nonprofit that addresses food insecurity. And he says he works basically the equivalent of two full-time jobs every weekend, lots of nights. Finally, took a few days off to go hiking in the Catskills recently, and he told me he was thinking mid-hike about the LinkedIn post he was going to write with a picture of himself hiking about the importance of taking breaks. So it really sort of permeates a lot of people's thinking.
So who are younger workers' role models in the workplace as they struggle with this?
I'd say the role models fall into a couple of buckets, JR. I mean, there's one bucket of the type of person who seems to totally break free of societal expectations. So like I spoke with a young woman named Shani Kejriwal. She's in her mid-20s and she says she's got like a friend who's living the hashtag van life, right? Like get out of the office, go kind of cruise around the country, work when you need to, but like seems totally detached. And I think that's sort of a fantasy for a lot of young professionals. And then there's another type of person who's a role model who is a little bit more senior. Maybe it's somebody's boss, and the young professional is looking at that person and saying, wow, he or she seems to just have it all. They got a great job. They got a great family. They make a lot of money. How do they manage to do all those things at the same time? So I'd say those are the two types of role models that came up over and over in my conversations.
Callum, earlier in the week on the show, we discussed how younger people can set the stage for a successful long-term career if they can land a good job by age 30. Now, wouldn't that mean in their 20s, they might have to join what we often hear of as the hustle culture to stand out and get ahead?
It could very well mean that. And I think that's the pressure that a lot of these young professionals say keeps them from maintaining the kind of work-life balance that they admire in theory, right? Because for a lot of these folks, some of them started their careers in the recession of the aughts. And of course, we've all gone through the pandemic in more recent years. So if you're 10 or 15 years into your working life, let's say, you've had a pretty disruptive time. And I heard from some of these workers that has contributed to a sense that if you don't sort of hustle now or score some of those professional wins while you can, it's really going to hurt you in the long run.
Callum, you wrote a column last month about managers wanting hard workers, and they're hiring older workers to fill that need. Now, for younger people, maintaining free time is one thing, but could it cost them down the line?
It could. And I think that one of the things that we still haven't sorted out is how much of the cultural changes around work that we've seen in the last few years are going to be sustainable and how many of them were actually sort of a temporary function of a really tight labor market and or the pandemic. I think employers were very understanding about people wanting to work from home, let's say. They've also been pretty understanding about respecting people's boundaries and saying, oh, you know, sure, I won't email you after hours, or I'll try to use the schedule send feature on my email account, right? So that hits your inbox on Monday morning instead of over the weekend. I do wonder whether that will continue if employers are in a more powerful position, whether they will return to the pre-pandemic expectation that you're sort of on call for me all the time.
And eventually, Gen Z and millennials are going to be the lion's share of the workforce. And so it seems that there might not be another group to sort of compare them to find harder workers.
Yes, and that would be the biggest case for the changes we've seen of the last few years lasting longer, right? I mean, so if more millennials and Gen Zers end up in management, they can kind of set the tone, right? So if they really do want to prioritize work-life balance, if they're the boss, they can set the corporate culture in that fashion. But you got to get there first, right? So the question is, can you rise enough doing things the way you want to now as a young worker to eventually have enough power to change the corporate culture when you get there?
That was Wall Street Journal On the Clock columnist Callum Borchers. And that's it for your Money Briefing. Our producer is Mohsen Ali. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy. And our executive producer is Chris Zinsley. I'm your host, J.R. Whalen. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.